seated. Do you want to say God bless you, Sister Rachel, for doing it? Just do it. That's what I like about the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, just do it. That's beautiful. That song we were just singing said, "Love me ere I knew him." You know, that's the thought that I've been thinking about this morning. That yesterday I was meditating about the love of God and trying to comprehend it. You know, in Ephesians we have a verse, it says, that we may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That's sort of a conflicting thought there. It says that we may know it, and then it says that passes knowledge. So, can we really know it? The completeness, the depth, the height, the breadth, and the length of the love of God. It really, it's beyond my comprehension of the fact that God loved each of us, even when we were far from Him. He loved us far beyond what we can comprehend. To comprehend God Himself, it's something to dwell on, to try to comprehend God. I have been amazed. I have been amazed at trying to comprehend God and His great love. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved us, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is powerful. The love of God. In thinking about God and His greatness and His position in the heavens and the works of His hands, I was made to think of Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read some in Isaiah chapter 40, an opening here. In thinking about God, thinking about who He is and who we are, and how that God could love someone like us. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, it says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" The waters in the seas of our world, God hath measured them in the hollow of His hand. He meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He weighed the mountains in scales. Can you imagine that, Abner? The Rocky Mountains? He measured it on scales.
I will give you the dust of Death Valley.
The dust of Death Valley. He knows every bit of it. In His hands. That's our God. He hath weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? In other words, where did God get all that He has? Whom He'll counsel And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge and showed him also the way of understanding? God. He always was. He knows all things. He always did know all things. This is our God this morning. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as a small dust on the balance. Just a little dust. The nations, in the eyes of God, in the hand of God. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The islands, they're just a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the cedars of Lebanon talks about, it's not enough worth burning for God, and all the beasts for burnt offering. We had an experience this week with a huge tree in our lawn that came down crashing in when the ground got soft, and it's a big willow tree, and we're debating about whether it's worth burning or not for heat. They say willow wood's not worth much. You had to think of that when it says it's not sufficient to burn all of Lebanon. It says all the nations are before him are as nothing. They are as counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. Here we have these world leaders get together and we think there's great power. There's some great people in the eyes of God, it says the nations are counted as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will we liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? What can we compare God to? How can we describe God? It says the workman metteth a graven image, and goldsmith spread it over the gold and cast his silver chains. This is what the idolaters do. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. This is what the heathen do. In verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understand from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, are as grasshoppers. That's you and I. And that he stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. God. You boys went camping this week. You probably had tents to sleep in. God spread the sky out for us to dwell in like a tent. And God is sitting on the circle of the earth, it says. And the sky is like a tent for us grasshoppers to dwell in. Amazing God. And yet God loved us. He loved us even though we were so insignificantly small in his eyes. We were so absolutely nothing. If the nations are as nothing, what are you and I in his eyes as far as how small we are and insignificant we are? And yet God loved us. He loves every one of us, and he has a personal interest in every one of us, in every one of our needs and our situations. God's love is so great. It reaches around the world. To the poor people in Africa and China and wherever there are human beings on the face of the earth. God loves every individual personally. God cares about each one of us. He cares about our needs. Like a brother said, He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows us from the inside out. That's our God this morning. The Creator of the heavens and the earth. The One. When we start to think about the universe and how that the earth is just a small speck in the midst of all the planets and galaxies and all the things that are out there in the universe. And we're just a very, very, very small speck on that earth. I cannot comprehend God. I cannot reach it. It is uncomprehendable. But yet God comes down and He cares about each one of us. He ministers to each one of our needs. He knows what's going on in each of our hearts. He cares for you. And most of all, He sent His only begotten Son to die to forgive us of all our sins. God, the Creator, the God from everlasting to everlasting, He cares about each one of us. I'm going to keep reading here in Isaiah 41. Some. He says, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judge of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. The whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because God's strength is unending. God's mercy, God's strength, God's provision is unending. To those that will wait upon the Lord, those that will call upon Him, those that will trust in Him, those that will give their hearts to Him, they shall renew their strength like the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because God is within us. God comes down and dwells within us. Not only does He care about us, but He sends His Holy Spirit to live within us and gives us His life. He gives us His strength and gives us His grace to live our lives for His glory and for His purpose. God, what a God we serve. to comprehend the love that God has had for us and all the provision that God has made for us through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. I want to read that more back in John 3. That powerful scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." God isn't here looking for reasons to condemn and to destroy us. He is here in love this morning and reaching out to everyone in this place, offering forgiveness of sins, offering salvation, offering grace, offering His strength, offering His love, offering His Holy Spirit and His very presence to everyone in this place this morning. This is our God. He's not here to condemn and to destroy, but He's here to give life. He's here to give hope. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither walketh in the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." What we really need to do is open up our hearts and allow the light of God to shine into our heart and be honest with God and walk in the light that God gives to us and receive that forgiveness of sins, receive that grace and that love and that mercy from God. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. And God is here to receive. We know it's not always going to be that way. The day is coming when His judgment will come. But as I have for today, it is a day of grace. It's a day of mercy. It's a day whenever we have opportunity to get right with God. The time is coming, and it may not be long, when that will be no more. But today is a day of opportunity. Today is a day of grace. Today God is offering Himself for us. He's offering us His peace. He's offering us His power, His Spirit, His presence, His life. It's ours this morning by faith in Jesus Christ. We receive the fullness of His presence in our life. I'm so thankful this morning that God was a merciful God. I've been thinking much of, I love that Psalm 51. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture in the Bible. I just shared about this last week at the camp meeting. And I think we'll share a little in that. Thinking about the mercy of God. We see David came to God after he had sinned. And he cried out to God and said, "God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies." He says, "Blot out my transgressions." David came to God pleading for His loving kindness and His mercy upon his life, repenting of his sin. He cried, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." This is the cry of a sinner coming back to God, one who has fallen and comes back to God, seeking peace with God. "Have mercy upon me, O God." If it were not for the mercy of God, where would we be this morning? Not one of us would be here this morning. We would have no hope in this world. We would be lost forever. But God is a merciful God. God is extending His mercy today. God cares about us. And He's extended His mercy for 2,010 years. I don't know how long it's going to be continued. But we're living in that day of grace, that day of opportunity, when we can cry out to God for His mercy. Be merciful unto me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. He says, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. David didn't blame somebody else, like Brother Jake talked about this morning. David said, I sinned against you, God. He didn't blame Adam, and he didn't blame like Adam blamed Eve, and like Eve blamed the snake, but he took the responsibility upon himself. He said, against thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. He acknowledged his transgressions. He confessed his sins. He was grieved over his sins and repented before God, acknowledging his sins. And he acknowledged his sinfulness. In verse 5, it says, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. We are all born in sin. There's not one righteous. We are all equal before God, as far as our sin is concerned. There was no one that is born a Christian. We are all born sinners. And we all have to come to God in our own accord. We all come to God, reach out to God in our own, because we are born sinners. In sin did my mother conceive me. And he says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Here we see David had a vision. It's amazing what all David had. David understood in the Old Testament times. He understood the importance of the hidden man of the heart. He said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That hidden man of the heart. In Philippians it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And Peter says, let it not be that outward adorning, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, even the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. He said this to the women. I believe it's the same to all of us. That it's that man in the heart that God is concerned about. And He wants to see that. He wants to see that truth dwelling in our hearts. He wants to see that our heart is changed. That we're not just doing things outwardly, but He wants to change us from the inside out. God wants to see truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. And David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. The purging with hyssop is a purging from the inside out. Hyssop is a herb, I understood, that is used for inward cleansing. And this is what David's talking about. Purge me from the inside out. Wash me from the inside out. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And this is powerful, that we can come to God, the great God that created the universe, the God that sits on the throne sits on the circle of the earth, the God that's from everlasting to everlasting, the God that knows all things. He knows the intents of our heart. He knows He weighs the mountains on the scales and the dust in a balance. And we can come to that God. And God can come down and work a new creation within our hearts. He can make us all over new. He says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. God can come down and He can give us a new heart. And He can give us a new spirit. He can change us from the inside out. The same God that created the earth, He cares about you and I to the point where He gave His only begotten Son. And He calls us unto Himself through His Holy Spirit. And He creates within us a new heart and gives us new desires that we follow after Him. Ezekiel, it says, a new heart also I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. This is the heart that God wants to give to every one of us. That we have a new heart with a new desires, which is a desire to serve God, a desire to do the things that God wants us to do. This is our God, this great God that loves us so much. He comes down and He changes us. He loves us so much that He gives His Holy Spirit. He gives us His Son to die on the cross and His Holy Spirit to work within us. To change us and to make us a new person, to give us a new heart, to give us new desires, to give us a will to do the will of God. This is beautiful. It's more than I can comprehend this morning. I cannot comprehend the love of God. That God can look down on this earth where the nations are a drop in the bucket. And yet He cares individually for you and I. And He sends His Holy Spirit into each one of our hearts to change and to cleanse and to sanctify and to wash and to regenerate our hearts and make us like Himself. This is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. I'm so thankful for that free spirit of God that comes into our life and it can uphold us. That's what causes us to rise up with wings of eagles and to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. It's that spirit, free spirit of God dwelling within us. It lifts us up. It supports us. It gives us grace. It gives us courage. It gives us wisdom. It gives us what we stand in need of to empower us in our Christian life to experience what God wants us to be experiencing. He gives us what we need to be what God wants us to be. We don't need to sit back and fear that God will want us to do something that we can't do. Because God gives us the grace and the strength to do what He wants us to do. God doesn't ask us to do something that He doesn't give us the strength and the wisdom and the grace to do. That's a beautiful thing about God. Because He gives us that Holy Spirit, that free spirit, that freedom to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the works of the flesh. He gives us that freedom to live to the glory of God and to walk after Him and to be all that He wants us to be. If we just receive Him in our hearts and we allow His Holy Spirit to have full control of our life, we have no fear. There is no reason to fear. There's no place for fear, but we trust in our God who is all sufficient. Without Him we can do nothing. Without Him we are absolutely nothing. But in Him, with His free Spirit, lifting us up and supporting us and upholding us, we can be all that He wants us to be. Thank God. And I like the next verse. And it says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Only when we are cleansed, when we are in a condition with a new heart, and we have a heart after God, and we're walking with God, then we can be used of God. When the Spirit of God is dwelling in us and upholding us and supporting us, then the Spirit of God can use us in ways beyond what we can imagine, in teaching others, and sinners will be converted, and God will be glorified, because it's Him working in us. It's nothing what we do ourselves. It's nothing that we can do. There's absolutely no good within us. There's absolutely no potential within us. But when that free Spirit of God is dwelling within us, when we have that broken, contrite heart before Him, and God can use us to His glory, God can accomplish His work through us, God can bring glory to Himself. Like it says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. This is the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that's sitting upon the circle of the earth, the God that opened up the skies as a tent for us to dwell in. We come to Him with a broken and contrite heart. This God will take notice. He will see, and He will reach down, and He will touch that heart, and He will change that life. He will bring new life, and He will make us what He wants us to be and use us in the way that He wants to use us. I trust if we're here this morning and we're not experiencing that, if you're not experiencing that Spirit of God within you, you're not experiencing that freedom in walking with Christ and being all that He wants you to be, you can experience that. You can experience that today. You can be free in Him by just acknowledging your undoneness before God and allowing God's Spirit to come down and touch your life and change you, create a new clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. May this challenge each one of us this morning to follow after God and to be all that He wants us to be. Let's bow for prayer at this time and kneel for prayer.